I want to read a scripture and an experience in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this is found in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 9. I want to begin reading in verse 2. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. We call this the Mount of Transfiguration. The word transfigure means to transform or to change the outward appearance. We get our word metamorphosis from the Greek word of transformation. And it doesn't mean to change inwardly, it means to change outwardly. They're the same inwardly, but the outward appearance is different or changed. And the illustration, of course, in nature is that of a caterpillar emerging from the womb, from the cocoon, and it is a change in its outward appearance as a butterfly. It's the same animal, but it's different in its appearing. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not become the king on the Mount of Transfiguration. He always was the king. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But his visage, his appearance changed. And I believe that he revealed or manifested his outward dignity and divinity to the sight of these apostles. Interesting that he only took Peter, James, and John. He could have taken all 12 of his apostles. He could have taken a whole lot more people, but he took these three. This shows us the sovereignty of the Lord. He chooses whom he will say, and he chooses whom he will reveal himself to. If you know the Lord, it's because the Lord revealed himself to you. If you love the Lord, it shows that the Lord loves you. Now, we love him because he first loved us. Now, I would that everybody, every child of God, was a primitive Baptist. I wish everybody believed just like I did. I believe that every child of God is saved and going to heaven, but not every one of them know him in the fullness or even in the sense that I have seen him. Not that I'm so much better, really, when it comes right down to it. I don't know why I'm as blessed as I am. I don't know. I don't deserve it, but thanks be unto God that he has revealed himself unto me. The best thing you know is Jesus Christ. Seriously, the best friend you've got is Jesus Christ. The greatest thing on earth is Jesus Christ. And the greatest thing in heaven is Jesus Christ. Paul gave up everything to know him and the power of his resurrection. What a blessing it is to see him as we can. To come to church and to be in fellowship with our best friends and to feel the closeness of the King of Kings is worth what it took to get here. It's worth driving in the snow. It's worth driving 1,500 miles. It's worth getting up early. It's worth listening to me preach. Seriously. I know that's a whole lot. I mean, I don't like to hear me preach half the time. But if the Lord is here, Amen and amen. And what a sublime scene this must have been for these three. We read in verse 4, and there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. It gets even better now, because here they see Moses, the representation of the law, the lawgiver, the one that led the Jews out of Egypt and led them up to the promised land, who spent 40 days in the on Mount Sinai and brought the law down to the Jews and was their leader and faced Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And stood as Pharaoh's army was coming in the Red Sea, and he said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And the Red Sea parted and they walked across. And then that same sea destroyed the Egyptians. And there he is, talking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they see Elias, or Elijah, the wonder prophet. When I think of the prophets, I think of Elijah, the man that brought such great things, and the Lord worked such miracles with him. And who was led and blessed to be translated into paradise. Elias is, or his successor, Elijah asked him, he said, "What will I give to you before I leave?" And he said, I want one thing. I want a double portion of your spirit. I want what you have." And the Lord blessed him with that. And here they are in this scene, on top of this mountain, in the stillness and the quiet, Christ transfigured. And they're talking together. Sounds kind of like church to me. It sounds like when I come into meeting like this, or like we've had this weekend, and I forget all the troubles that I've got, all my complaints, all the things that have gone awry, and just for a little while, I'm in a better place and I'm with the Lord. Have you experienced that? That is the best thing that can happen to you here on earth. To say that I have been with the Lord today, it's brilliant. They were talking with Jesus. One of the things that I see a lot in the visions of heaven or eternity, I'm interested in what heaven's going to be like. I plan to spend a long time up there, so I kind of want to know what we're going to do. And there's really not much information. We know that we will see the Lord Jesus Christ as He is. That's pretty good. I mean, that's really what makes heaven heaven, is that the Lord's there. And to see Him face to face and to hear His voice, you can't top that. I mean, I started with the best. But we're also going to be like Him. That's going to be pretty good. We're going to be incorruptible. We're going to be immortal. We're going to be in a place where there's no death, no sickness, no sadness, no separation. That's pretty good. But there's one thing about heaven that I've noticed, in a trend that I kind of like. There's going to be a lot of talking in heaven. Now, for me to say that is a great miracle, because by nature, I am a very shy person. Some of you are smiling at me right now. I don't know what's so funny. Really, I am. There are moments when I'm coming to meeting that I actually get a panic attack. Who do you think you are, you big dope? These people don't want to hear you preach. Who do you think you are? And really, my favorite place is on the sidelines. I don't like to be the center of attention. It took me 6 years to get the nerve to walk down the aisle and join the church. Because I didn't want people to make over me. I didn't enjoy talking. I let my brother Mike do all the talking. And I got tired of listening to him talk. But eventually I got over it. And now when I come to meeting, I'm like, man, let's get into it. I want to hear what you think about the Scriptures. I've got a question I want to ask. Tell me about your experience. Tell me about your history. How did you come to the church? What do you think about the Lord? I love that. The Lord blessed me to do something yesterday that I thought would never happen. I went into a Southwest Airlines plane and held 3 seats while everybody passed me by. And I was giving them the fisheye. You can't have the seat. You can't have the seat. Go away. Go away. This is not your seat. So I can talk to Brother Ronald and Sister Karen. I did pretty good, didn't I? When the Apostle Paul had his experience, he said, I heard unspeakable words. He couldn't tell us the words, but there were words. There was communication. That's a great blessing. They heard Moses and Elijah talking to the Lord. And then we read in Peter, verse 5, and Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Amen. If he'd stopped right there, he'd have been all right. Master, it is good for us to be here. My beloved, it is good for us to be here at Bethel Primitive Baptist Church with each other and with the Lord. This is the best thing you'll do all week. And it's the most important thing you'll do all week. But Peter had a tendency to keep going when he shouldn't have. And he said, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. What's the problem with that? The problem is it's 2 tabernacles too many. Our Lord Jesus Christ is to have the preeminence. Above all things, above the minister, above any member of the congregation, above anything that we can bring, he is to have the preeminence. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul says about Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him are all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. My beloved friends, we are not here to worship anything save Jesus Christ. We are here to give him glory and to thank him for what he's done for us and to worship him. And when we do that, that's when we have the right attitude and that's when we have good meeting. When the Lord meets with us and we have that attitude, What a privilege that is. We are not here to build a tabernacle to anybody or to anything save Jesus Christ. The law pointed to him. Moses did not want a tabernacle. Elijah prophesied of him. He did not want a tabernacle. He dedicated it all to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's too many, Peter. My beloved friends, when we stand in the presence of God, we ought to sometimes just be quiet and be still and hear and look and consider and meditate what a privilege it is and what a blessing we've got right now to be together with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what good singing is? It's when Jesus is singing with us. You know what good preaching is? It's when Christ is lifted up. You know what good worship is? It's when we fall down and forget ourselves and give him all the glory and honor and praise due to his name. That's what church is all about. It's not about I want to feel good. It's not about I've got this and I need this. It's not about us and it's not about what we want. It's all about Jesus Christ. To know him and to feel his presence. And to know that because he is head of all things, he takes care of us. And he answers our prayers. And it's going to be all right. I don't know if I said this when I was here last, but I love to read. And I'm always reading. Every book I buy or purchase, I read the last chapter first. And if it has a bad ending, I don't read it. Okay? That's why I'm not a Shakespeare fan. Oh, I love the language of Shakespeare. The music of his dialogue. But the plot in every Shakespeare play is everybody dies. Why do I want to always... I'm going to get in trouble with every mother here. Read your Shakespeare, children. Listen to your mother. Don't listen. Anyway. I don't like sad endings. I'm going to watch a movie, I get on the internet, and I actually have found websites that will post the script. And I read it. And I can actually mouth dialogue watching a movie. Oh, this next scene is going to be good. Y'all, shh. You know. Oh, let me tell you, no. I like spoilers. My beloved, I've read the last chapter of this world. And I'm going to tell you something. Everything is going to be all right. We're going to be with the Lord. He's going to come back. We're going to meet him in the air. He's going to take us home to paradise. And together will we ever be with the Lord. And we'll see him like these brethren did. But right now, we don't need tabernacles to any person or to any entity save the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be talking. We're going to be worshiping in heaven. Let's get a jump start on it right now. And let's worship him in spirit and in truth. In verse 6, it says about Peter, he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. I've learned that when you don't know what to say, it's just best not to say anything. But Peter just felt like he had to say something. He said, there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly when they looked around, they saw no man anymore save Jesus only with themselves. Moses and Elijah are gone. And all that remained was the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, nothing matters without Christ. I'm glad he remains. I'm glad he didn't leave the scene. I'm glad he didn't say, well, Peter, that's how you feel? Just forget about it. But he stayed and remained. Peter was cowering in fear, but he got the lesson. Hear him. My beloved, if I don't listen to me, but if the Lord speaks through me, and if it's out of the Bible, listen to that. I get things wrong. Believe it or not, I know that's a shock to you. But I've actually made a few mistakes. But I know one who has never made a mistake, whose way is true, who's faithful, and that's the one I point to, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in closing, and this is going to be 23 and a half minutes. It's pretty good. Had a person one time said, well, Brother Dave, I don't remember anything you said, but I know it was 44 minutes because that's what you said you was going to do. Okay, so this is the 23 and a half minute sermon. You'll remember this for the rest of your life. You won't remember anything else but that. That's good. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. It's interesting that Moses had a mountain and Elijah had a mountain. Moses had Mount Sinai where he received the law. Elijah had Mount Carmel, that were that great contest between God and Baal, and where they had that sacrifice, and the Lord sent the fire and consumed the sacrifice. But our Lord Jesus Christ also has a mountain. And you may ask what mountain that is. Peter mentions this experience in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. And I'll read that and give way. Peter says in this chapter, he says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And he's referring back to this experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. He says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. That's the name of the mountain that I know this by. I read a letter commentator, well, it was Mount Hermon, it was this, it was that. Peter says it was the holy mount. God was there. My beloved friends, if you feel the presence of the Lord, may it be here. May it be in prayer or in meditation or in communication or in fellowship. My friends, you have translated, in a sense, to a holy place where the Lord is. And what a blessing that is. We've got that opportunity in this life. Thanks be unto God for that. And I long to spend more and more of my days. May they be spent in his praise and in his service. I don't deserve it, but thanks be unto God that we've got it. May the Lord richly bless you all is my prayer.